disciples at Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus is asking them, who do men say that I am? And they're telling the various ones, some say this, some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah, some say. And Jesus said, well, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says that you didn't get that from you or any other person. That one came from above. That was a revelation. My Father who is in heaven revealed that to you. And Jesus goes on to talk about, I'll build my church on this rock. Your name is Peter. I'll build my church on this rock. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a lot of different ways that people have broken that down, and I'm not going to take time to tell you what I think this morning. But from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed and raised the third day. And they didn't get it. A matter of fact, Peter, who he had just had this wonderful revelation from the Father, said something. And Jesus called him out. I don't know of a more harsh calling out than this account right here when Jesus said to me, well, Peter said this. Peter took Jesus aside after Jesus had told them that I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be killed and I'm going to raise up on the third day. Peter pulled him aside and rebuked him. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? And he said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. You've got to keep in mind, they did not know what we knew. Jesus was not dead yet. They had only seen Jesus, and they had witnessed his acts and his miracles and who he was and how he carried himself, and they were believing in him. And according to his miracles, there was nothing he couldn't do. But he began to speak of something else dying and being killed. Peter pulled him aside and said, no. The truth is, that would have felt like the right thing to do, I believe. That would have been a part of our human condition. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. I believe that has a great definition to it, and it's worth exploring, just not right now, because it's not where I'm going. But that is the tie-in to where we're going today. Because where we're going is in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me. So let's set the criteria for that. Anyone. There is no exclusion there. It is full inclusion. Anyone. Anyone. The best, the worst, the richest, the poorest, the have not, has not, whatever it is. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, other translations say, he must. They must. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world or loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Say, with his angels. It's going to be really important in a few minutes. It's important now. It's going to be more important then. And then he will reward each according to his works. The reward for some will be different than the reward for others. There is a payment. There is a wage system. The gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. It's starting off serious, but it needs to be serious. Because I believe that, I'll just say it like this, I cannot hardly recognize any problems within the church, because he's talking to anyone that would come after him, so that would definitely include the church, that would include every one of us. I cannot think of any problem that I may have that would not be included in the lack of denying myself. Like, if I deny myself, most things aren't going to be a problem. So to deny yourself is definitely a starting place in Jesus. And he makes it very clear. If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves. Take up their cross. Not the cross of Jesus. You've got a cross that you've got to bear. And follow me. I just want to deal with the deny myself today. It's really all I want to deal with, because it's the first part, but it is the hardest obstacle to get over, is to deny yourself. It's problematic to deny yourself. And if you deny yourself, if you can get to that place where you can deny yourself, then taking up the cross is not going to be the hard thing. Following him is not going to be the hard thing. It's always going to bounce back to deny myself. If I can deny myself, I can do these things. Deny myself. And we see in Matthew chapter 26. Yeah, so this has already taken place. Where, can you imagine where Peter would be with this? And you remember how the disciples were in competition with each other? Can you imagine Peter? Rock? Peter, your name's Peter. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Peter, you did it. You got the revelation. Who do men say I am? But who do you say I am, disciples? This is what men say of me. Who do you say that I am? And Peter got it right. So much so that it was an elevated moment for people that are in competition with each other, right? We can talk this thing out. If they were in competition with each other, if they were wanting to get that leg up on each other, like, who's greatest in the kingdom? And all of a sudden, Peter gets something so right, and he said, flesh and blood, you didn't get that from any of these guys? You didn't get that from a friend? You didn't phone a friend. You didn't guess that one. That one was actually revealed to you by the Father. Can you imagine how good Peter felt about himself? And in a couple of seconds, get behind me, Satan. Just wonder about the disciples that were watching that. They're like, I mean, that had to be a mind blower right there. And then he said, anyone will come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So that's 10 chapters later, chapter 26. I want you to look at that. And it just so happens that last night, after we had Karen share, it was a great time. It was such a good time that we had barbecue And I mean, it was as fresh as it could be because I was in charge of ordering the barbecue. And I called up Little Pigs, which happens to be in Columbia, thinking I was calling Dixie Pigs, which happens to be a mile from my house. And I got to Dixie Pigs, and I said, hey, my order, Morgan. And she said, who? What's your name? Started looking up. She called the manager. Did you do? No, I didn't do. And she said, are you sure? She said, are you sure you called Dixie Pigs? I said, well, got on my phone. I looked, and I was like, Columbia, Columbia, get behind me, Satan. So I actually paid Columbia for the food that I ordered and bought fresh food right there. And they pulled together, and we really had a great time. And then after everyone went home, John and Deanya stayed, and we talked for a while. And I said, y'all are going to think that I'm preaching from what we're talking about. And then I don't know where you're at if you watch The Chosen. I'm not trying to push it or pull it or whatever. We watched it last night. Walker just got back from camp. We watched it, and we're all piled up on my king-size bed, and Walker's right there in the middle. And just so happened that the episode had to do with what I was preaching about this morning. And just so you know, I wasn't looking to The Chosen to get my sermons. The sermon was looking for me. I fell asleep, and all of a sudden, I noticed everybody's rustling. They're like, we're going to bed. I said, was I snoring? And they said, yes. So I didn't even catch the episode. But I did see the guy that plays Jesus that looks just like Matt Woodhouse if he had a wig, in my opinion. So just saying that to say this. We come to this place in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Jesus said to them, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Everybody said it this time. And they had all been a witness of Peter's big flop a few chapters before, when Jesus left that big calling out of calling him get behind me, Satan, and speaking to the circumstance of Peter's mind and where his heart was at, and bringing correction to that, and rightly so, followed it with, if any man will come after me, must deny himself, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then Jesus is saying, it's going to happen. It's the night. Today's the day. Tonight's the night. And Peter doubles down and said, even if all are made to stumble, calls to take offense is what that meant. If all are calls to take offense at you, I won't. But Jesus just said, you will. And he doubled down on it again, and all the disciples joined in and said, no, we won't. No, we won't. Jesus looked at Peter and said, and you'll do it three times. You know what this is? This is an expose of the human condition. And even though Jesus is not here in physical presence, his spirit is here. And this is the church that we go to. And this is the place that we come to confess things to him. And this is places that we come and make promises to God, right? So I could see myself, at least if I'm not Peter, I'm one of the disciples that says, yeah, me too, I won't do it. But the human condition says, yes, you will. Our best intentions are not enough. Our proclamations are not enough. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ. So Jesus told Peter, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So then there's the prayer in the garden. Then there's the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus in Gethsemane. Then Jesus is facing the Sanhedrin. And then Peter's denial of Jesus happens. But if I'm going to say it correctly, I'm going to have to not call it Peter's denial. I'm going to have to call it Peter's denials. Three of them. Peter's denials. And they're recorded right here. Verse 69 says, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Denial number one. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. So I promise I don't know him. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. It was talking about his dialect. Then, in his accent, then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. What he had said he would not do, he did. Not just one time, not just two times, three times. And I heard my son-in-law point out something very good right there. That the first denial did not register. So the second denial came with a promise, and that didn't register. So to convince people, his last-ditch effort to convince the people that he was denying Christ, what did he do? He began to curse and to swear. Can I tell you, you need to be careful with what comes out of your mouth? I don't know how. I don't know. I remember when I first started preaching, because I had an inner city ministry, and it was not uncommon for people to come off the street and the Lord be working and changing their lives, and then to come to me afterward, after I got through preaching, and just say, Pastor, that was a good sermon. And you know what my response was? Now, brother, we don't curse in the house of God. No, it's praise the Lord. Thank you. Keep coming back, come back, come back, come back. Because there's grace for that. But after a while, I got to ask myself, if Peter used cursing as leverage for proof that he was not following God, there was something Peter recognized, that my message of denying is not getting through. Let me take it up another notch. And let me take it up to the highest notch I can take it. What you say is important, folks. And I'm not even trying to preach on that. But I hear it in this room. I hear it right here. And I hear it outside. And I don't want you to be somebody that you're not. But if you say it in here, if you get comfortable enough here, man, I hear the crunching of toes in this house. I've had the awesome privilege of leading some men to the Lord that were 70s and 80s in their age. And it was by hunting with them in Georgia. And I'm telling you, when I say rough, their language was rough. Rough. But they called me the preacher. And then when I would walk up and say, oh, preacher, I'm sorry. And I would tell them, say, don't change who you are because I'm not anybody, but Jesus does hear everything we say. And they're like, I know. I'm working. You keep praying for me, preacher. I preached both of their funerals and led both of them to the Lord. And I don't think that would have happened if I would have cracked a whip on them, acting like I'm better than you. But there reaches a point in our life where some things, does my whole life point to Christ? Does all of my speech point to Christ? So on with what I was going to preach about. Peter's denial. So here's Peter who's denied Jesus three times. Chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10. Let's flip the page and let's look at this just a little bit closer because there is at least two definitions of denying, what it is to deny. One of those definitions in your Bible is, this is a definition of to deny, to affirm that one has no connection with a person. The other definition is to forget oneself, lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. Okay? Do you see the difference in those two things right there? Well, here's the example. What Peter just did was to affirm that he had no connection with Jesus. That was the definition of denial that Peter took place of. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous. To affirm that I have no connection with him. But there's another denial that Jesus says must take place. And it's among the first things that we must do. And that is to lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. And it's taught to us in Matthew. I want to go to 32, but I can't because there's a therefore. So let's go to 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So it starts with a denial. And the denial is of yourself and not a denial of God. And your whole life before Jesus was a denial of God. It is not, I don't believe that it's saying that your whole life should be spent with a ladder outside of your house or your apartment. And you climb up that ladder every day and you get up there and start preaching to people the gospel. I don't believe that's what it's talking to. But I believe it's the boldness that your life means something and your actions speak something and your words speak something and who you are and your character amounts to something. And the whole ball of who you are, like the ball of wax, represents something called Jesus and a change that's taking place that he lives inside of you. I believe that. So I would say that it calls for boldness and at the very least a readiness to be bold about what he's done in your life. And you're never going to have that unless you're able to deny yourself. Okay, so I will break it on down some more. Wow. And just like that, AI came to church this morning. That's funny. So Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up my cross. Take up their cross. Not his cross, take up their cross. Do you know that you've got a cross that's prepared for you? Do you know that you carry that cross? And I'm going to back off of that because I want to go with that next week. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. But there's a cross that you're supposed to be bearing. There's a cross that you're supposed to be carrying. And what it is supposed to remind you of is the place where you die. The place where your flesh dies. Talk about that later. But no sense in talking about that if we're having a problem denying ourselves. No sense getting to point two if we've not gotten to point one yet. Do you know where sin's at? It hasn't changed its position since it came on the scene. It came on the scene in the original Garden of Eden. Cain and Abel. And Cain has a conversation with God. And God tells him, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. That position of sin was as a crouching lion ready to pounce on the prey. You know where sin's at? Where sin is at. Still. Every one of us has sin crouching at our door. And you must master it. And I believe it starts with denying yourself. I do not have time to talk about what church for the masses and at least the United States has turned into. I do know that I preached a message years ago that dealt with mixture in the church. A foot in, a foot out. And I believe that if I tried to preach that message again, I would have to update that so that it clearly describes where the church is at. That we're not a group of people that are dabbling or that we're not having problems with mixture now. Now our problem has moved from mixture to immersion. We're immersed in the world. We are immersed in the world, and it is a shame. And there's very little distinction between the world stage and the church stage. I calls it how I sees it. So Jesus is telling them this. He said, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And he's calling for a denial, but it's not a denial of him. It's a confession of him, but a denial of myself. In order for me to have a true confession of him, there must be a denial of myself. So back to the definitions. So to affirm that one has no connection with a person, that's the denial that Peter had. And to forget oneself is to lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. That's the denial that I must have of myself so that I can truthfully confess who Jesus is. In this scripture, therefore, whoever confesses me before him, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. A few minutes ago, there was a reason that I had you say in front of the angels, because a different passage that I didn't use said before the angels. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before the angels in heaven. And if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the angels in heaven. So it breaks down like this. To confess in a person's name, the nature of the confession being to make a public confession. Everyone who shall confess me before men, that person will I confess before my Father. It conveys the thought of confessing allegiance to Christ as one's master and Lord, and on the other hand, of acknowledgement on his part of the faithful one as being his worshiper and servant, his loyal Father. This is appropriate to the original idea of being identified in thought or language. So that's a very fancy way of just making the point that he says, as you confess me before men, I will confess you to the angels in heaven. What an incredible promise. But this is the scary part that goes with that. Because he said, and whoever denies me, I will deny him in heaven. And this is where all the weight comes crushing down. Back to the definitions. So he is calling for a denial for us to forget ourselves, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. I walk by faith, not by sight. The song Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. I'm not even walking according to my earthly vision. I'm walking according to the vision that he has set before me. So to deny myself is the task at hand. And it's something that has to happen on the daily. Because one of the passages of Scripture, there's three places that it's recorded. If anyone will come after me, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. One of them says, must deny himself daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me daily. It's a daily thing, folks. It's a daily walk. It's not a one and done, but it is constantly walking before him. Okay? So that is something that's in play. But he says this, the other denial that he's warning against is to affirm that one has no connection with a person. So if I get this right, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, whoever declares me before men, whoever makes a proclamation of me before men, whoever boldly speaks of me before men, and they're doing it from a place of denial of themselves, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven, and it will be a final confession. It will be at the end. You are mine. It's finally over. This world is behind us. We are finally his forever. But get this. But whoever denies me before men, That denial before men has to do with this. That their denial is to affirm that one has no connection with a person. So if we do that here, then in heaven, his denial with us will be where he says, I have no connection with you forever. And there is a finality to that one. So you could say it here, and you can live it a different way, but he knows. But if you say it here, and you confess it here, and you live it here, and you have denied it here, then he will affirm you in heaven, and it will be an everlasting thing, and there we will be with him. But if not, and we deny him on earth, and we say that we have no connection with him, there will come a day when he says, you are right. I have no connection with you forever. And that is one of the most powerful things that seals the damnation. And it's because I didn't deny myself. And if I don't deny myself, it is a denial of him. Christine, will you come? I couldn't help but the weight of this. Even at my first church, inner city, I would not expect anyone to come to me afterwards and say, that was a blank good message there, Pastor. But it is a reminder for us as believers and followers of Christ that, yes, I'm following him, but there's a denial that he's expecting on my part. It's a denial of myself. Can I tell you that I deal with that? I deal with denying myself. And if we're truthful with each other, that's the human condition. I could stand up here and preach in front of you guys and say, I won't deny Jesus. I won't do it. And I could even get more bold and say, y'all might deny him. And if everybody denies him, I won't do it. That's just not true. The human condition. But there's something that I keep in front of me. And it is to deny myself. And if I deny myself, I am acknowledging him. It goes against how we're made. It goes against our flesh. It really does. But it latches us to his spirit. And that's what's crying out inside of you. There is a spirit that lives inside of you that is actually crying out for the redemption of the body that you live in. That's what the scripture says. And one day that will happen. And I don't want to be a pastor that the congregation says, man, he blistered us this week. Woo! He was rough. Christine must have burned his toast. I don't want to be the pastor who just patty cakes along. Says, it's all right. Gee whiz, it's okay. He knows what you mean. My thing is, do I know what he means? Do we know what he means? To the churches that have gone from mixture to immersion, do you not read the scripture that says, come out and be separate? Do you not see the scripture that says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were cleansed. How can I be washed and cleansed and go right back into what I came out of? You know what does that? Pigs. He describes it that way. Pigs do that. He said, dogs return to their vomit. I got a dog. The dog don't just return to his vomit. He'll go back and eat it. I got a dog. I've seen it. I love that dog, but I ain't getting up in that dog's face. Because I can't watch it every time I let it go out in the yard. There's a responsibility that we have. And it is a privilege and it's an honor. And I can tell you that in my lifetime, the ones that are doing, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but there should be fruit on our trees that says, hey, that's that kind of tree. I don't know of a fruit tree that has thorns and thistles in it unless it's got some stuff going up in it, choking it out. Right? Should have fruit. The thorns and the thistles shouldn't be there because those things should be pruned away. Because there's value. And I'm going to encourage you, value yourself. Value the calling on your life. Value and nurture what God has put in you because you're there to produce. And the gifts that you have are not for you. Look at me, I'm all gifty. No. The gifts that God has given you is for everybody else. Ernie, that was a gift of prayer when you prayed over Kylie. That was a gift of prayer. You lunged on his back and squeezed him, and I felt that. I'm like, ooh. That moved me. I couldn't even say anything when I said that. Just went to another level right there. Can I tell you, when I preach words like this, that's what I'm doing. I'm lunging towards you, and I'm pulling you close to sin. This thing ain't a game. This thing ain't just all fun. We had a great time last night at Karen Shear. That's some of what it's about. That's some of the fellowship that it's about. But it's about all of us getting there together and none left behind. And if I just preach you some frilly stuff that makes you feel better, and church isn't just a little pre-check before we go out in front of everybody and somebody fixes our tie. Well, we don't wear ties, but dust our shoulders off, pops our coattails down, and says, now walk straight and look good. It's living right. It's living right today, tomorrow, Tuesday. It's this day will help me perform right for 6 days. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Father, thank you for your word, and I thank you that it's not always met with